Now, while the usage of medical cannabis was legalized at the federal level in November last year, the path to access for most people in need has been a difficult one. And although the laws of local production of medical cannabis came into effect in October, the first license for private cultivation was only issued last week. This has meant for serious delays for those who are in need and need to be prescribed medical cannabis. To discuss the implications of this change in legislation for its patients, I'm joined by Dr. Richard Chai, an Associate Professor of Medicine at UNSW. He's also the Director of Supportive and Palliative Care at St. Vincent's Hospital in Sydney. Doctor, good morning.
Good morning, Adrian.
Thanks for joining us on The Daily. Now, what sort of benefits does medical cannabis seem to provide palliative patients?
I think that the main symptoms that we are planning to use cannabis in is patients with pain, patients with a poor appetite, especially as a result of their cancer. There may be some evidence that is useful in patients with nausea. But overall, we're also looking for improvements in an overall improvement in quality of life. That's also important.
So that's the main thing here, is just trying to get people pain-free and, living life a bit better. Is that right?
Yeah, I think that, the notion of pain-free is what we always aim for, but I think some patients will always have some degree of pain.
Right.
But I think medicinal cannabis is one of those medications that can be used in addition to, rather as a substitute for all the other pain medicines that we use in palliative care.
Right. Are there any clinical trials underway in Australia at the moment that are using medical cannabis in a palliative context?
Yes. I'm part of a trial at St. Vincent's Hospital where we are using cannabis, medicinal cannabis, to try and improve the appetite of patients with cancer.
Right.
So that's already, we've gone through our first patient and we are awaiting the longer-term results of that study.
Right.
The main effect of the study is to look at what is the right dose to improve a patient's appetite, because at the moment, I can't tell you what the right dose is.
Right.
So this study is to try and tell me what is the right dose, what are the side effects to be expected, because that's what I need to explain.
Yeah.
I need to explain to patients, do they get the appetite improvement or the munchies with the first dose or with the 10th dose? That's what this trial will help me understand. And then going forward, we want to test medicinal cannabis to medications that we already have to try and improve appetite to see if it does actually make a difference compared to medications that we currently use.
That already exist.
They already exist. I might just say, whilst the first private license has been issued, there have been another one or two licenses already issued and one taken up by the Victorian government.
Right.
So they are actually growing cannabis now, and they are going through a process of making sure that their crop is well done, that that whatever that comes from their growing fields, what we need from a medicinal point of view, because we don't want something that I get from the local pub where I have no idea what is in there.
Yeah.
Whereas the process and what the TGA is doing and making sure that the Victorian government is making sure that we get a product, we know what's in it, what's not in it. We want to make sure there's no pesticides in the cannabis that comes out from the private, because at the moment, what you get from the pub may have a lot of pesticides in it. Do you want that?
Yeah.
We need to make sure that whatever I am able to prescribe is safe and doesn't cause any harm.
And does the job.
And does the job, exactly. Yeah.
Now, how are patients in the trials taking the cannabis? Is it the classic thing where they're smoking it? Is it being extracted, something from the cannabis extracted and then put in a tablet? How's that being done?
I think the first thing is that we are not allowing patients to smoke cannabis because New South Wales Health, we want to promote a healthy non-smoking environment.
Yeah.
Because that in itself causes other problems that we don't want to promote.
Absolutely, yeah.
There are other trials in New South Wales and elsewhere in Australia where it can be used as a spray.
Oh, okay.
It can be used as a liquid solution.
Mm-hmm.
And in those two trials that I'm aware of, they take the cannabis and extract two particular molecules from the cannabis, THC and CBD, mm-hmm. and then put it into a solution and then offer it to patients.
Right.
There are trials where we take raw cannabis flower, which is dried.
Mm-hmm.
We bring that in from the Netherlands and we vaporize it to about 200 degrees.
Wow.
And then the patient breathes in the vapor. Obviously, it's going to be cooled down,
mm-hmm.
but we'll then breathe in the vapor because we feel that the vapor will allow a very quick absorption of that cannabis. So that trial is actually the very first trial in Australia where we use raw cannabis rather than extracting the molecules and then giving it to patients.
Right.
So you can see there are lots and lots of ways of giving cannabis other than just smoking or giving it as cookies. they also come as oils,
yep.
as I said, a suspension. As I said, we're vaporizing it as well.
Right.
One of the reasons why we need to trials is what is the best way of doing it?
Mm.
What is the best way or providing the medications to an effective level?
Mm.
What's the best way to minimize side effects? What's the best way that is acceptable to lots and lots of patients? There was a study done by UTS whereby when we surveyed lots of people, many people wanted something orally.
Right.
They wanted a capsule rather than, say, a suppository, rather than, say, a cookie.
Right.
And but that's for the future. But we also recognize that that's what patients are really keen
mm-hmm.
To try. It comes in a capsule, but unfortunately at the moment it doesn't come as that. But we're looking at other methods eventually.
Yeah, right. And just to finish up, with the way that the law currently stands, what kind of illnesses actually qualify for a medicinal cannabis prescription?
I think that the first thing is we don't know what illnesses specifically. Yes, we recognize that in pediatrics, some epilepsy which doesn't respond to normal medications may respond to cannabis. We don't know which ones will respond and which ones won't because there's a whole different lot of causes of epilepsy.
Right.
And the same thing for all the other conditions. When you talk about pain, is it cancer pain that mm-hmm. will respond? Is it chronic pain that will respond? Is it nerve pain that will respond? There's some evidence that, yes, there is some effect and improvement in those cases. Then we can look at nausea. Is it only from cancer patients? Is it from the treatment of cancer patients? What about nausea from other causes? We don't know the answer to those things.
Right.
So most of the indications are about what is the problem rather than what is the disease.
Mm.
So we're looking at, for example, is pain the right symptom that we want to improve?
Oh,
is nausea the right symptom we want to improve? Rather than say, is the cancer the one that we're going to try and improve? So it's different from, say, a blood pressure tablet where we say, look, it's for hypertension.
Mm.
Whereas medicinal cannabis is not for hypertension.
Yep.
It's to try and improve the symptoms that may be associated with an illness. We are still very early. We still don't know how to use it, when to use it, in what stage. I think that at the moment, we are likely to use it as a drug of last resort.
Okay.
Because we have to go through and allow patients to try things that we know work first. And mm-hmm. if it doesn't work, then medicinal cannabis then
might
has
be the
a
way
role.
To go.
And that's where that information is very unclear. Yes, I know that lots of people are saying that we don't know what it's used for. And the answer is, yes, we don't know all the answers just yet. And therefore, many doctors don't know what to prescribe it for at this point in time. What doctors have, I told you, is a spray, it's a vaporizer, it's a solution. Which one do the doctors actually choose? So there needs to be not only an education program, I think, required for patients, but also an education program required for doctors so that we can teach them. This is the way you diagnose problems that may lead to that medicinal cannabis as an option.
Right.
That's why we are very keen to make sure it's done properly. Whereas if you go to Canada and if you go to Colorado, it's open slather.
Right.
There is no controls over what can be prescribed. A doctor can prescribe.
Anyone with the flu.
Anyone with the flu can have it.
Wow.
And is that the right thing for us to do? And I'd suggest probably not. And by the way Australia is doing it, we are able to make sure we do make sure that we have the right medication, the safe medication for the right condition.
Right.
Rather than what everybody thinks.
A free-for-all.
And yeah. I don't want that. You know, Minister Greg Hunt made a great announcement yesterday where he was going to allow importation of medicinal cannabis from outside sources until the domestic supply becomes available.
Right.
And because that will reduce 75% of the current delays in getting medicinal cannabis for our patients.
Oh.
75%. So it reduces what could be a 2 or 3 month wait for a drug to come into Australia for that particular patient to maybe about 2 or 3 weeks.
2 or 3 weeks, wow.
So I think that's in a step in the right direction. I think he understands that there's a problem and he's done something to actually improve and overcome that problem.
Mm. Well, Doctor, it's been very, very interesting talking to you. It sounds like there's something, a lot of developments happening and moving in the right direction. As you say, not just a free-for-all, it's about getting it right.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, Dr. Richard, thank you so much for joining us on The Daily.
Thank you very much, Adrian.
There you are. That was Dr. Richard Chai there, Director of Supportive and Palliative Care at St. Vincent's Hospital, discussing some of the new implications of the new medicinal cannabis and various laws, in particular the importation laws.